Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Welcome to The Savage Nation. There is a huge controversy brewing about autism and my comments and the out-of-context comments that were sent around by the far-left Stalinist group. And I'm going to deal with that today. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. What is ironic is that I, Michael Savage, who have, well, I have personally devoted most of my life to the defense of defenseless children, to helping children stay off drugs, to helping parents understand that there's a very evil empire of pharmaceutical firms and corrupt doctors who wish to drug your children. The issue of autism came up because last week, in the context of talking about welfare fraud, talking about fraudulent diagnoses in order to sell children medications, I raised the issue of autism. Now, here is what I wrote. And I'm going to read it to you. It's on michaelsavage.com for those of you who wish to read it yourself. And I'll take any caller. Maybe you're a parent of an autistic child. Maybe you're a parent who had a child who was falsely diagnosed with autism and it stigmatized the child for years until you found out that your child was not autistic. Maybe it was a misdiagnosis. Maybe it was a false diagnosis. I do know this. Later on in the show, we're going to have a professor on who is an expert in autism. And the professor tells me that up to 60%, at least 60%, if I heard him correctly, 60% of children thrown into the category of autism are not autistic. I don't know if you folks out there understand that they're now claiming that 1 out of 160 children are autistic. This is statistically impossible. And so, therefore, in the context in which I made these statements, I am going to now make these comments on the Savage Nation. Again, I direct you to michaelsavage.com, where you can read not only my editorial on the autism controversy, but two amazingly brilliant articles written a year or two ago by Thomas Sowell that I did not see until this week about this topic. My comments about autism were meant to boldly awaken parents and children to the medical community's attempt to label far too many children or adults as autistic. Just as some drug companies have overdiagnosed ADD and ADHD to peddle dangerous speed-like drugs to children as young as 4 years of age, this cartel of doctors and drug companies is now creating a national panic by overdiagnosing autism, for which there is no definitive medical diagnosis. Let me reiterate that. There is no definitive medical diagnosis for autism. None. There's no blood chemistry that change. No blood chemistry changes. There's no MRI changes. There is no definitive medical diagnosis. It is all subjective. Did you know that if your child lines up his shoes under his bed, as I did as a child, your quack doctor will say he's autistic, throw him into the category of autism? If your child puts things on top of each other, as I did as a child, he's autistic? This is total insanity. Now, there are children who are genuinely autistic. And, of course, they need as much love and attention and help as we can give them. But many children are being victimized by being diagnosed with an illness which may not exist in all cases. Did you know that just a few weeks ago, quack doctors recommended dangerous anti-cholesterol drugs for children as young as 2 years of age? That's right, you heard me. Without any scientific studies on the possible dangers of such drugs on children, corrupt doctors made this controversial, unscientific recommendation. Give children as young as 2 years old anti-cholesterol drugs. Why is this happening? It is happening increasingly because our children are being used as profit centers by a greedy, corrupt medical pharmaceutical establishment. Now, let me get very personal. I am the brother of a severely disabled brother who suffered and died in a New York snake pit of a mental hospital. I know firsthand what true disability is. Don't lecture me about it. And to permit greedy doctors to include children in medical categories, which may not be appropriate, is a crime against that child and their family. Let the truly autistic be treated. Let the falsely diagnosed be free. We know that autism by itself, in a true case, is devastating. Its causes are unknown. We don't know what the cure is. And experts who have treated children say this. Professor Camerata is quoted as saying, because there are no reliable biomedical markers for autism, diagnosis must rely on subjective rating scales, making it difficult, if not impossible, to conduct accurate screening in toddlers or preschoolers. And yet, the medical quacks have said that there should be a diagnosis of every child down to 18 months. Well, let me tell you something. In the United Kingdom, in Britain, the UK National Screening Committee recommends against screening for autism in the general child population because screening tools have not been fully validated and interventions lack sufficient evidence for effectiveness. Are you aware of any of this? Now, let me read you some of the diagnostic categories for autism. Lining objects up makes a child autistic? Are you aware of the fact that there is a category now called the autistic spectrum? Are you aware of the fact that they have changed the definition of autism, and that is why now they say up to one out of 160 children are autistic? This is an hysteria, in my opinion. What is the autistic spectrum? Well, what if your child has a very high IQ? What if your child is simply late in talking? Well, they'd fall into the characteristics, and they would go onto the checklist for autism. They would be invited to be treated. Now, what do you mean by the autistic spectrum? Well, what if you wore glasses? Should you be included in the blindness spectrum? What if you had moles on your face? Should your moles and you be included on the cancer spectrum? Autism is very serious. Blindness and cancer are very serious. But to use definitions that make the situation impossible to be accurately diagnosed is an insult to the truly ill. So these loose definitions of autism are what we are talking about. Many parents, by the way, have told Thomas Sowell that they were urged to let their children be labeled autistic. Did you know that? Many parents told Thomas Sowell in his article, he says this, let your child be labeled autistic or let them be put on the autistic spectrum. Why? In order to get money for speech therapy or other conditions from grants that are available to deal with autism. There is much more that needs to be said that will be said today and tomorrow on the Savage Nation. I am going to stick to my original statement. There is no autism epidemic. There is no autism epidemic. Autism, in its true form, is a tragedy for the child and the parents. But to throw every child who evidences these characteristics into this category of autism is a crime against the child. I have a friend who called me before the show, and he said that his son had a nervous tic at some point in his development. The quack pediatrician said, your child is autistic. My friend said, that can't be. He just has a tic. He's a child. They outgrow it. The quack doctor said, oh, no, he's autistic. We've got to treat him. The doctor was wrong. The friend was right. The friend never told his child he was autistic. And good that he didn't, because the child outgrew the tic. And I'm telling you people, stop being led around by your nose by an industry that is filled with vultures. And so, again, if you care to talk about this topic, and I know many of you want me off the air. In fact, I gave radio and television interviews all day today from early in the morning. Most of them were reasonable. Most of them listened to what I had to say. And they said, I didn't know that it was taken out of context. I didn't know when you said 99 out of 100 are children who are misbehaving was directed at the misdiagnosed or falsely diagnosed children. I said, no, you wouldn't know that because the group that ripped off my statement and put it out there is a far-left radical group that is trying to destroy my career and has been. Most of them said, thanks for giving us your side of the story. except for one. A television station in New York said to me, why don't you just leave radio? Now, this was a TV newsman. Why don't you just show the grace to exit and leave radio? I said, why don't you just leave television? He said, I didn't make the statements. I said, well, maybe tomorrow you'll make a statement and someone will want you off television. I said, is that the world you want to live in? Do you want to live in a world where one statement that offends somebody should cost you your career? You are moving into the Soviet Union. We're moving now into the era of the Soviet Union. And I am not going to go there silently or quietly into the night. I will fight with everything in me to set the record straight. This is about the children, not about the frailty of their parents. 1-800-449-8255. Savage Nation, the autism controversy. Please read my commentary before calling the show. Please hear what I just said before attacking me. Again, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Let me read you some comments that came to me before the show. One affiliate of mine, and I'm not going to name the gentleman, it's a major affiliate, sent a one paragraph to my syndicator. He said, thank you. Those of us who actually heard what Michael said understood what he was getting at. We have some listeners too emotional and or too close to the issue to realize that Dr. Savage supports them, just not the doctors and parents who diagnose autism out of convenience. Here is another email, and it's extremely emotional and personal. And before I read it, maybe I'll read it later. I woke up at 3 in the morning when I knew this was swirling and I knew that there was going to be great controversy today. And I thought, well, what is this going to do now? First, I had the illegal immigrants marching against me, stirred up by the communist lawyers in America, because I know who was behind them. Then I had the terrorist front group, CAIR, in my opinion, a front group for terrorists, trying to get me off the air, stirred up again by this very same vile Stalinist group. And I said, well, here we go again now. They specialize in taking things out of context. And I said, I can't control what occurs. It's in God's hands. And I was able to go back to sleep. I'm very fatalistic at a certain point. I may have invested 15 years of my life in radio and 40 years of my life in defense of the helpless children of the world, and I have. But if the irony is that I am attacked by men who do not have children in the group called Media Matters, and they win and the children lose, I said, then it's God's joke. And if that's what God wants, then that's the way it is. And then I thought about something else, and this is far more important. I thought about my poor deceased brother, who lived without having spoken a word his entire life. He lived into his 20s. He was given away when he was very young, 5 or 6, tore the family to pieces. He was sent to a snake pit on Staten Island where he suffered for 20 years. And he died in that hospital, never having spoken a word. And I said, should I bring up the memory of my brother on the show today? I said, is that cruel? I mean, to do this? Should I use him to defend me? And then you know what came to me? I said, yeah, I'm going to tell the story of Jerome. I said, maybe then this little boy who never spoke a word can speak boldly in defense of his brother 50 years later. And maybe then the power of the silent brother will be heard.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
The drug companies are now have created a huge category for which there is currently not yet a drug, but I can guarantee you they're trying desperately to find a drug to fill the void. They created a category called ADD and ADHD, into which they threw millions of children who didn't belong there and put them on dangerous speed-like drugs, and I've been fighting against it for 30 years. And my book, Healing Children Naturally, was published first in 1980 and republished. And you can see more about it and me on michaelsavage.com before you rush to judgment. Autism itself, when it's real, is tragic. It's heartbreaking when it's real. But according to Professor Camerata, who has worked in the field for 30 years, 50 to 60% of children put into this category are not autistic. And my comments were taken out of context by this radical Stalinist left-wing group, Media Matters, that has done this before. They did it with the Muslims, they did it with the immigrants, and they do it, of course, each and every day, as was done in the Stalinist Soviet Union. They have no place in America. But let me go a step further here. Would you want to put a child into a disease category if he simply stacked up or lined objects? Stacking up or lining up objects may indicate autism. Did you hear this? Just stacking up or lining up objects. Well, as a little boy, I lined up my shoes under the bed. Over and over again, I would count the tiles in the bathroom as I sat there. I would go around and around, back and forth to meditate on the number of tiles, and my eyes would count them, line them up in my head. The fact is I'm a genius. The fact is I know I'm a genius by my creativity, by my achievements, by my IQ tests. I mean, you say I'm boasting. It doesn't matter what you say. There are geniuses in the world. There are ordinary people. And then there are people who are morons, imbeciles, and idiots. And there's a scale of intelligence. Now, what you may not know is that many children who are geniuses are called autistic today. By definition, Albert Einstein would be put into the autistic category today. His teacher was said to have boxed his ears, quote unquote, in Austria, I believe, when he was a little boy, because he sat there and stared and said nothing. He gazed at the teacher. They thought he was a dummy. But he was a genius, wasn't he? Today, the quacks would say, oh, he has autism. He needs treatment. He needs a speech pathologist. He needs a therapist. Well, then we wouldn't have Einstein. And yet, the medical legal establishment is trying to have children screened for ASD at the 18-month level. 18-month level. This is the same group of crooks who just 2 weeks ago said that all children who have high cholesterol should be put on anti-cholesterol drugs without one single test on children to show what anti-cholesterol drugs might do to their livers or whether or not these anti-cholesterol drugs would kill them. They don't care, don't you understand, that children are being used like guinea pigs by the medical, pharmaceutical, legal establishment. That's my opinion.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
In a moment, we're going to go to Wendy Fournier, president and a founding board member of the National Autism Association. But for a moment, I want to put a parent on who has an autistic son who's been holding a while. Rick in Portland, quickly go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. How you doing? Hey, you know, the truth of the matter is with the autism spectrum disorder, there's so many different elements to it. You know, it's kind of hard to really nail down anything.
Do you have an autistic son?
I do. He's 7 years old.
Okay, but are you certain he is autistic?
You know, I'll be honest with you, no. And there's a couple of reasons. Real quick, one is, number, when we first found out at age 2.5, he was diagnosed autistic, and we...
But quickly, based on what? What did he not do or do that had your doctor say he's autistic?
He was
less eye contact, less social understanding, touching people's hands instead of looking at them. Do you realize that some of those behavioral characteristics can be declared autistic?
Right, absolutely. And you know the
isn't that a little extreme?
And Michael, I'm actually on your side on this. In all honesty, I think that, and I've lived it myself, that I think that doctors are far too quick to throw labels and tags on people when it comes to, especially autism.
Right. This is not to deny the fact that there are severely impaired children who are autistic. And I want to leave it at that and go, thank you very much. Let's go to Wendy Fournier, National Autism Association. Ms. Fournier, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Mike.
Okay. You can say what you wish, and please do. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
Okay, well, you know, the first thing I want to say is that I really think that we have a lot of common ground in how we feel about the medical establishment in this country and about the overzealousness of medical professionals to want to put labels on our kids and drug them. I see that a lot in kids who are diagnosed with disorders like ADD and ADHD. You know, we have a parade of kids going down to the nurses every day to get their Risperdal. And I agree with you on that aspect, but I think when we're talking about autism and the epidemic of autism that we're seeing right now, these are kids who are very, very physically sick. There are underlying physical conditions that are causing the types of behaviors that you were talking about on your show last week.
But, okay, so they're saying one out of 160 children are autistic. Do you believe that's correct?
Actually, the number out of the CDC is 1 in 150, and honestly, Mike, I think it's even higher than that. I think there are more kids that would qualify for an autism diagnosis than we actually know about.
How could an entire nation of children be ill? How is that possible?
Well, you know, personally, I feel it's due to the vaccine schedule that we have in this country and the toxins that are in the vaccines.
Well, now, look, I long ago, 30 years ago, read Rimland's work on mercury in vaccines. I'm no fan of mercury in vaccines. It's been removed from most vaccines. And I wouldn't argue, though, that it's the mercury in vaccines that causes autism. You're not suggesting that that is the cause, are you?
I'm not suggesting that that is the only cause. I'm suggesting that I believe that the mercury, the aluminum, and other toxins in the vaccines, as well as the onslaught of vaccines that our children are required to get now, is contributing to immune damage, which in turn creates neurological dysfunction. And when we're looking at 1 in 150 kids with a full-blown autism diagnosis, you know, we also have 1 in 6 children, that's almost 20% of the population, that's being diagnosed with a behavior disorder or a learning delay. You know, we have a nation of impaired children. And I think we're making them sick.
Let's slow down for a minute. You know that I've written Healing Children Naturally, don't you? You know that I've been onto this for a long time, or don't you?
Yes, I know that.
All right, so you and I would agree that the children are being over-medicated, over-vaccinated, exposed to pesticides and toxins, and it's affecting both their behavior and their health status. So you and I agree on that. I think, however, that the overdiagnosis is of no value to the children who may not be autistic. You're the person who lives with this on a more generalized basis than I do, and you know that the diagnosis of autism is extremely subjective.
Well, you know, and I think that's part of the problem that we're facing even as parents, is the way autism is diagnosed as an observation of behaviors instead of looking at these kids from a medical standpoint. Most of our kids are extremely sick physically and enduring a lot of physical pain through gastrointestinal disease that they have, you know, that coincides with, you know, they're giving a label of autism, but our kids actually have autoimmune disease and gastrointestinal dysfunction and food sensitivities, food allergies, they have heavy metal toxicity. There's a number of things. You know, and I would go so far as to agree with you that...
But you know, look, I'm not here to argue with you. I'm very honored that you take the trouble, instead of attacking me, at least to talk on the show and to discuss it with the audience that's listening. And believe me, right now, we have the attention of the nation. Wendy, I believe this country needs to have a very serious national dialogue about the medical establishment, the pharmaceutical establishment. The issue of autism needs to be looked at very carefully, because a false diagnosis or a misdiagnosis of this or any other illness can and will stigmatize a child for life. And in many cases, there are false diagnoses. Dr. Camerata, for example, I think you may have heard of him, estimates that up to 60% of children diagnosed as autistic are not autistic.
I can't say that I agree with that. I think what we're seeing, that the increase in kids that qualify for a diagnosis is actually real. And, you know, but I do agree with you on a level of kids that are less affected and kids that are suffering from, you know, more of ADD or ADHD type of symptoms are getting labels put on them because of their behaviors that, you know, it's just because the community wants to drug these kids. I am totally on board with you on that. I absolutely agree with you. But
they
I'm not...
want to control, the drugging of our children is a form of social control, Wendy. That's how I see it. And many doctors have written on this. And I stated earlier that the American Academy of Pediatrics, which to me is a shameful organization, which just 2 weeks ago said that all children down to 2 years of age should be given anti-cholesterol drugs if they have high cholesterol. That's without any testing whatsoever on the dangers of anti-cholesterol drugs, is saying that children as young as 18 months should be tested for ASD. And yet in the United Kingdom, the UK National Screening Committee recommends against screening for ASD in the general childhood population because screening tools have not been fully validated and interventions lack sufficient evidence for effectiveness. So my position is this is an overdiagnosed category, and it can be very damaging to the child and the parent, and I don't think we should be so quick to throw our children into this basket called autism. I had a friend who told me his child had a tic. The doctor said he has autism. The father wasn't so sure. The father wouldn't agree with the doctor, and the child outgrew it. Had he told his child at age three that he had autism, it might have affected the child for life.
I totally agree with that point. I'm definitely not going to argue that with you, Mike. I agree with you to a certain extent, but the kids that we're seeing right now, the epidemic of autism that we're seeing right now, these kids are train wrecks. These are not kids that are, you know, difficult to diagnose or easy to miss in any
way. Oh, no, look, let me be clear. The truly autistic are truly ill. They deserve all of the attention that they need and all of the medical care that they can get. But we're not talking about that, are we? We're talking about what I said and how it was taken out of context and how I was directing it at the falsely diagnosed, the misdiagnosed. But a step further, there are parents in this country who want their child to be diagnosed with an illness to collect a larger payment of welfare. You know and I know that that goes on. They also get special help in schools. And this is the heartbreak, Wendy. That care, that help, that money should go for the truly sick child, not for the fakers.
I understand your point, but I'm not seeing that. As an advocate in the autism community, that's not what we're seeing. The last thing that a parent wants to hear is that their child has autism. It is devastating. It's a devastating...
Well, okay, repetitively stacking or lining up objects may indicate autism. Do you agree with that?
That's one of the symptoms on the checklist, yes.
On the checklist. So when I was a child, I stacked up milk bottles. I also put my shoes in order under my bed repetitively. I counted the tiles on a bathroom floor as I was using a bathroom. Did that make me autistic?
That in itself does not make you autistic, but a combination of symptoms will qualify you for an autism diagnosis. And again, it's a behavioral and an observational way of diagnosing that
Right. Are there any brain changes that can be delineated on MRIs? No. Are there any serum changes that can be noted? No. So there's no definitive medical diagnoses. There are subjective criteria that are used to diagnose a child, and that's what we're talking about, refining these tools to make certain we don't put the wrong children into the category.
Well, that's what we need to do, and that will help us. If we look at the kids from a biological level, that will help us determine which kids are at risk of becoming autistic if they're subjected to toxins or vaccines. But, you know, that's something that the CDC and the NIH thus far have refused to do.
Have lawsuits been initiated against the pharmaceutical firms on this issue of mercury and vaccines that you know of?
Well, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are protected from liability against vaccine injuries. And if you have a child who's vaccine injured, your only recourse is to file a case in vaccine court.
But Wendy, isn't it true that there are lawyers who brought this asbestos industry full circle and are now seeking the next asbestos? Aren't they salivating at the bit to bring down the pharmaceutical firms based upon the vaccines? And given that that's the case, that there are lawyers behind a lot of this, shouldn't we be a little skeptical of their claims?
It's not the lawyers that are driving this. It's the parents that are driving it, because the lawyers, you can't go after the pharmaceutical companies. The pharmaceutical companies are completely protected against vaccine claims in this country.
So who would the lawyers then sue if a child is found to be autistic? Who would be the villain?
You have to sue the Department of Health and Human Services.
I don't think you can sue the U.S. government.
Our government has prevented us from holding the pharmaceutical companies liable for vaccine injury. So that is our only recourse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that this is an issue that's driven by attorneys who are money hungry. This is you know, a situation where your child is injured by vaccines, you have no recourse other than vaccine court. There are 5,000 cases right now pending that claim that vaccines cause autism in their children. And there are test cases that are being heard right at this moment. I think this
So there are 5,000 claims, which, if any one of them were found to be valid, would open up a new industry for the vultures called lawyers. Look, in my book, Healing Children Naturally, Under Hyperactivity, here's what I wrote. I said, if Tom Sawyer were alive today and in grade school, no doubt he would be declared a hyperactive child by a teacher eager to subdue him. To apply a medical term to social behavior is the road to 1984 and all the implied dangers of mind control and psychoactive drugs. I have long felt that teachers who recommend Ritalin and other forms of speed-like drugs to control our children, whose attention they should be able to engage through exciting teaching, ought to be threatened with legal action from parents on the premise that teachers are not licensed to practice medicine and make diagnoses. I published that in 1980. I republished it recently. And 1982 it was first published. It's on my website, michaelsavage.com. Believe me, I think you and I would agree on many things. And again, I want to leave it at this, Wendy. I think you're the most sincere person I've ever spoken to in a, let us say, a an activist group. I don't think you have an axe to grind. And I still think that the overdiagnosis is very dangerous for the general population of children who may not be autistic.
And I have to say, Mike, that I agree with you on so many issues, and I think a lot of our community does. I think, you know, the storm that is surrounding the comments that you made last week is that, you know, we as parents, we are suffering and watching our children suffer. And to have somebody suggest that we just need to tell our kids to suck it up and they're going to get better is like telling a parent who has a child with cancer to suck it up and they're going to be magically healed.
You're 100% right, but that again, did you actually hear the show when I said it, or did you hear it out of context played by a station?
I got it from parents. I got transcripts from parents. I had parents.
Well, there you go. It's the same left-wing radical group of Media Matters that took it out of a long discussion about the drugging of our children. For example, I talked about ADD and Ritalin. I talked about the anti-cholesterol drugs. I talked about the corrupt pediatricians who are now pushing drugs on our kids. And then I got to autism. And then I said there's a large number of kids who are not autistic, who are being called autistic for various reasons. And I said 99 out of 100 of those children simply need to be told to behave, not the autistic children. But once again, Media Matters has struck. And the people have been gullible, and they heard what they wanted to hear and attacked me, Michael Savage, the evil man. But again, the 99 out of 100 remark that I made was not directed at the truly sick child. I've spent my life trying to defend the defenseless, including, and I don't want to go into the details, on a very personal note, Wendy. You know that. I think you know that.
Well, I do. I do know that, and I'm sorry for that, and I feel for you on that issue. But the bottom line is that people were hurt by your words, Mike, and they.
Well, they would be hurt if I actually directed it at autistic children, which I did not direct it at. Here's another one: a young boy with autism and the precise line of toys he made. So, if a child lines up his toys in a bed, he's now autistic.
And this is why, as an advocate for our community, I didn't come and try to jump down your throat and start a fight with you and call you names.
No, you did a beautiful job. But look at this: compulsive behavior, sameness, ritualistic behavior, restricted behavior, self-injury. I engaged in all of those things as a young child. If I would have let the quacks of today treat me as a child, I would have been ruined for life. And I got to tell you something. I'm not autistic, not with my achievements. You can't put every child into this category. That was my whole point, Wendy. Let the truly sick get every care available to them. But let's stop throwing every child into this category simply because of some behavioral facets of their life.
My only concern and the reason why I wanted to talk to you today, Mike, is to let you know that for people who hear that, to hear those words, even hearing them out of context, it sets back the progress that we have made in this community for the last 40 years. It brings us back to the refrigerator mother theory and that we're just bad parents. And I just wish that, you know, I think what our community needs to heal from this because we have...
Well, wait. Before the community needs to hear something from me, I need to hear something from the community. I need to hear a loud gasp and sigh and say, I'm glad you didn't attack truly autistic children. I'm glad that you're bringing up the issue of autism because now the nation will be discussing it. I'm glad that we live in a free country where we can discuss these topics. I think it needs to be a two-way street instead of me just saying I made a mistake. I directed those comments at the large category of kids who don't belong in that category. And I tell you the truth, if I live today, I would be declared ADD, ADHD, and autistic all at once. They would drug me. They put me in a straitjacket. I'd never be seen again. Wendy, we cannot do this to our children, particularly our very bright children. It's a very dangerous time that we live in. And I would not trust the doctor as the ultimate arbiter of our child's abilities or disabilities. Wendy, before you go, is there a website where the listener can make a contribution or learn more about autism?
Absolutely. We have a website at www.nationalautism.org.
Well, I certainly hope that you will play some of what we said today rather than the out-of-context statements that were made by these very, very devious, evil, left-wing radicals. God bless you, Wendy. You're doing God's work. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
We've been talking about autism, whether too many children are being categorized as autistic, about my comments, which were ripped out of context by the radical, left-wing, anti-conservative group Media Matters. My comments about autism last week were aimed at the children who are falsely or misdiagnosed, and they were meant to boldly awaken parents and children to the medical community's attempt to label far too many children or adults as autistic. And I stick to that. And I will say again, I know firsthand what it is like to have a child who suffers in front of your eyes. And to permit those who do not have children to turn you against me is the greatest tragedy.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
If you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you will be a man, my son. Rudyard Kipling wrote that in his great poem, If. And of course, there are days in your life that poems become operationally real. Literature becomes operationally real. And that's when you test yourself and find out who you are. Today, I find myself facing people who have lost their heads in a panic, attacking me for things they think I have said, because things I said directed at a specific population of people who were falsely or misdiagnosed was more generalized by this hateful Stalinist Hillary Clinton-created group called Media Matters. It has been picked up by those in the autistic community who think that I was attacking defenseless children. The exact opposite is true. I have spent my entire life in defense of the defenseless, especially children and animals, but more particularly children, primarily because, and I don't want to dwell on this, because I know firsthand what true disability in a child is, what a heartbreak it is, and what it does to the mother, the father, and the other children. And to permit those who hate children and hate families and have spent their entire life attacking children and families attack a man who has defended children and families all of his life is the ultimate in irony. But that's what you would expect in a time like this. My comments about autism were meant to boldly awaken parents and children to the medical community's attempt to label far too many children or adults as autistic. And just as some drug companies have overdiagnosed ADD and ADHD to peddle dangerous speed-like drugs to children as young as 4 years of age, this cartel of doctors and drug companies is now creating a national panic by overdiagnosing autism for which there is no definitive medical diagnosis. Let me repeat that. There is no definitive medical diagnosis for autism. It is quite subjective. If your child lines toys up, has little eye contact, taps on a table, pulls hair out of his arm, they will say he is autistic. If your child has a tic, he's autistic. Many children are being victimized by being diagnosed with an illness which may not exist in their case. In their case. Just a few weeks ago, if you remember, doctors recommended dangerous anti-cholesterol drugs for children as young as 2 years of age, without a single scientific study showing the potential dangers of such drugs on little children. Corrupt, sold-out doctors made this controversial, unscientific recommendation. Why is this happening? It is happening increasingly because our children are being used as profit centers by a greedy, corrupt medical pharmaceutical establishment. Now, I'm going to have another expert on right now, a real expert in the area of autism, someone who has studied autism for decades, someone who has written about autism for decades, and someone who knows what he's talking about. Professor Stephen Camerata of Vanderbilt University has tested and treated children with autism for more than 20 years. I have never met the man. I have never spoken with the man. I do not know what he is about to say. But I wanted another expert on the program, and here he is, Dr. Stephen Camerata. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity. I don't necessarily agree with the idea that autism is being pushed by a medical establishment. And as a scientist who's very interested in helping people with autism to communicate, which is the area of my research, and more broadly helping children with autism, it's absolutely crucial that we come up with and follow specific, consistent guidelines. This is the scientific method, and this is what we need to do as a field. The problem is, for example, let's say that I come up with a cure for cancer of the colon, and I identify people with cancer of the colon, but I expand the spectrum to include polyps. Okay, let's say I have some kind of a treatment. Well, I'm not going to learn very much about treating colorectal cancer if I include a broader spectrum of conditions, and that's what is happening with autism. So people have kind of expanded the definition of autism. By the way, I think that we can reliably identify autism. Certainly skilled people can do it. But the problem is that if we expand this autism spectrum, this broad definition, then we're including people who only have maybe one or two of the symptoms that don't have the core symptoms of autism in our genetic studies, our neuroimaging studies, our treatment.
But do you believe that one out of 150 children are truly autistic?
I don't believe one out of 150 people are classically autistic. Because the spectrum does not have a standard definition, it's hard to know what that incidence is. By classic autism, I mean using the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of the American Psychiatric Association, using those guidelines for PDD autism. You know, using
What percentage of children do you think are misdiagnosed or falsely diagnosed and put into the category of autistic who shouldn't be there? What percentage?
As a matter of my opinion, there's a couple studies in the literature. One study showed that approximately 34%, this is a recent study, appeared in last year in the Journal of Clinical Pediatrics. It showed that about 34% of the children using an autism screening questionnaire were, in fact, overdiagnosed. And then another study showed that the specificity, that is the ability to identify children with autism, can be as low as 42%, which means that more than half are being misidentified as autistic using those. That's not my work. That's
all right.
Research.
Professor, you know that the American Academy of Pediatrics recently recommended that all children be screened for ASD at the 18 and 24-month doctor visit. But the UK National Screening Committee, that is in Britain, of course, recommends against screening for autism in the general population, primarily because screening tools have not been fully validated and interventions lack sufficient evidence for effectiveness. So this is a controversial area, is it not?
Yes, it is. And, in fact, I'll say it up front that I'm actually in agreement with my British colleagues that We need to move forward with autism screening with where we can do it successfully. And my own position is that we can successfully screen 4- and 5-year-olds widely. We should start with that as we learn more about, you know, how we can do it in 3- and 2-year-olds, extend downward. So I'm on record as being kind of in agreement with our British colleagues on that issue.
How do you definitively diagnose a condition for which there are no medical markers?
Well, you know, I think that if you're saying medical, if you mean biomedical, that is a blood test or a brain scan or something like that, obviously, we don't have markers like that for autism. But if you work with someone with autism, if you meet someone with autism, it's unmistakable. The core characteristic, which Leo Kanner first described in 1942, was a reduced or absent motivation for social communication. And this is the heart of autism. These children, they really, we're social creatures, and these children have a reduced spark for that. They have a reduced motivation or interest in that. In fact, many times they withdraw from other people. And mm-hmm. when you see that, it's in a way, it's easy to recognize if that's what you're looking for.
Wait, let's pause for a minute. Let's take that as that symptomology for a moment. I've read autobiographies of Albert Einstein. When he was a young child, he was said to be silent. The teacher boxed his ears, God forbid, but he did, shook him, and said, "Why don't you talk?" The young Einstein stared off into space and didn't communicate. By today's definition, he would have been autistic.
Well, I have seen that people are trying to put him on the spectrum, but that really, again, does a disservice to those that really do have autism. These children have difficulty functioning in society. They certainly aren't in a position to, create theories of relativity. Einstein is a bright late talker. That's a totally different category. Those people don't have autism. They're just, there's an increase in their visual spatial abilities that kind of offsets or reduces their ability to talk early. So they end up talking late, but they end up being...
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is something different, that had Einstein been alive today and been in an American public school, it's possible that he would be falsely diagnosed or misdiagnosed, I think.
It's certainly possible. That is possible. And as I said, there are people I've seen, people argue on blogs and things that Einstein was on the autism spectrum, and I completely disagree with that perspective.
What about a child who lines objects up, shoes under a bed, blocks? As I said, when I was a little boy, I counted tiles when I went to the bathroom. I would sit and I would stare at the tiles on the floor and I would methodically count them. To this day, I'm a neatness freak. Everything has to line up or I get very disturbed. I need my chairs in a line, my shoes in a line, my tablecloth needs to be lined. Is a neatness freak autistic?
No, and in fact, many children line up toys. The children with autism that I know that line up toys, they get upset when you change the order in any way. In other words, many children will line up toys. In fact, little children do railroad trains and train tracks, and they might line up objects and look at them. And that's not necessarily a marker for autism. But if they line them up and then you change the order or you disrupt the order in some way and they get very upset, that could be a marker for autism. But that's kind of begging the issue. If they're very social and they do that, then they wouldn't have autism, because the hallmark of autism is reduced or absent motivation for social communication. That's the key factor that led to Leo Kanner's original discovery of the condition back in the 40s.
That's very interesting. That is extremely interesting. And I'm not so sure that children can't be motivated to become social through means other than the methodology that's being used. I mean, I knew many children when I was young, in my experience, who were asocial, who were withdrawn, who would, I think, be declared autistic today, and their parents pushed them socially, literally pushed them socially, made them talk to others, made them go to a day, the painfully shy, that type of thing. Again, I feel that there's a too quick a desire to categorize everything as medical when it may not be a medical condition. What about the person who called me and said they had a kid who had a tick? The doctor said he was autistic because the tick wouldn't stop. The father didn't think it was autism, and he wisely did not permit the doctor to declare him to be autistic because the son outgrew it. How do parents deal with those situations?
Well, I think without knowing the details of that case, just basing on what you said, I mean, clearly that parent did the right thing. And the idea is that, a tick by itself doesn't mean autism. In fact, a tick is really a very secondary or even more tertiary. It's not – many people with autism don't have any ticks. So, I mean, ticks wouldn't necessarily be something that you would use to trigger a diagnosis of autism. There's other conditions that have ticks, but – but mm-hmm. that wouldn't be included. And that's the problem, right? I mean, you want to make sure the people that are doing the assessment, you know, actually are familiar with the condition and know how to recognize it. And also you want to make sure that everybody that comes into their center isn't being labeled as autistic. Let's say a child's talking late, which is, of course, you know, the area that I deal with. That's my background, communication. You know, if a child talks late, it could be hearing loss, it could be cognitive impairments, it could be autism, it could be that they're just like Einstein, they're going to catch up on their own without any special kind of intervention. And you have to be able to recognize these different, it could be that they have speech sound disorders and can't pronounce the words. You have to recognize all these different things and be able to do a differential diagnosis.
Where do you think all these cases have come from? Why is there a sudden epidemic of autism?
Well, I think there's kind of two parts to that answer. The first part is that I don't know because the data aren't clear, but I do believe there is a real increase in the incidence of autism because medical technology based on science and good hard science is helping children to live who formerly would not have survived or would have had even more debilitating conditions. And so, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if there was an increased incidence of children with autism who formerly either, you know, would have been more disabled, even more disabled than the autism, or maybe not even have survived, say, a premature birth or some other condition that they might have had.
But you agreed earlier that with the UK National Screening Committee that recommended against screening for ASD in the general population because screening tools have not been fully validated. So what are we using for screening where we can say definitively that there's been an increase in autism?
Well, that's the challenge. There actually are screening tools available. They're good, but they take a long time to give, several hours. Like Wendy Stone here at Vanderbilt's developed a screening test that has very good psychometric principles, but it's not widely used, and it requires a lot of training for people to actually be able to do it. It's hard to just get in and do a questionnaire or in a doctor's visit within a 5 or 10 minute period to form an opinion. I mean, really, I would say you'd have a lot of problems with that, and that probably relates to the UK recommendation. I think it's prudent to come in and screen universally when you know that you have a high degree of accuracy in that process, or at least.
How could it be all of a sudden that one out of 150 kids has a disease that didn't exist 50 years ago or so, 60 years ago? Where did this come from?
Well, part of it is that probably some, you know, probably historically some of the kids weren't recognized. Like Down syndrome is a good example. You know, that wasn't really identified as a chromosomal anomaly or a disruption until, you know, say after the 1920s. And there was lots of descriptions of cases of children who clearly, in retrospect, had the condition, but we didn't really understand what it was until Down actually described it, which was after World War II. So they're probably...
But aren't there distinct physical characteristics of Down syndrome?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Aren't there distinct physical manifestations of Down syndrome?
Absolutely. I mean,
But there aren't distinct physical manifestations of autism. Well, look, you're an expert in the field, and I certainly appreciate speaking with an expert on any topic, more specifically on autism, which is a tragedy for the truly ill. Dr. Stephen Camerata of Vanderbilt University, I really appreciate your time, and I thank you for being with us on the Savage Nation.
One more thing? Can I say one more
thank
thing,
you.
Please?
Yes, please do.
Okay, can I? Great, yeah. I want to really encourage parents to trust their common sense and their instincts. I want them to, you know, seek out information. But, you know, like that one father you mentioned, if they have questions, get another evaluation. You know, be sure that you know what you're dealing with. If your child really does have autism, it's going to take a lot of work. It's a long journey. It's a difficult journey. If your child doesn't, then you want to have the right support for that child, if, in fact, support's needed. Also, I'm just going to say the last word I'll be is that there's a lot of, because parents are really scared of autism, and rightfully so, there's a lot of questionable treatment.
Why don't you hold on, because you have too much to say that's too important to let you go. Stay with us, Dr. Stephen Camerata. We'll be right back.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
I'm used to controversy, and the whole point of the First Amendment was to protect controversial speech, not polite speech. Anyone can engage in polite speech. There are experts at pretending to be controversial who are not. True controversy is the sign of a healthy democracy. And I'm glad that you've joined the program thus far to talk about autism and the true cases as opposed to the misdiagnosed or false cases. We will continue this discussion all day today on the Savage Nation. Go to michaelsavage.com to read my opinions, please.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
We are talking about autism and the controversy that was set off by remarks that I allegedly made that were taken out of context by the radical left-wing, anti-conservative, anti-American, anti-family group Media Matters. Most of the people who hate me didn't hear me make those statements. They were taken from a long discourse about the drugging of our children, about the medical pharmaceutical establishment. Now, before I go back to my points, I'd like to go to an expert, Professor Camerata, Stephen Camerata of Vanderbilt, who's tested and treated children with autism for more than 20 years. He has a very important conclusions to leave you with, and I didn't want to cut it off without letting him finish those points. Dr. Camerata, thanks for staying. Please go ahead.
All right. Thanks so much for allowing me to come back over the segment. Yes. The challenge is this, okay? If a parent gets a diagnosis of autism, they're scared. And so then they're easily swayed by some of these, you know, false claims. I don't know if you're familiar with the secretin test that happened about 10 years ago. This was a hormone that supposedly cured autism. It was on TV and so on. People swore by it. There were testimonials. And the NICHD, National Institute for Child Health and Human Development, actually ran a clinical trial. It showed it had no effect. In fact, you don't hear anything about secretin now, but we've gone on to new treatments that are equally as controversial and equally as unsubstantiated. There's many things that parents are offered, megavitamins, special diets, more invasive medical treatments such as chelation, things of this nature that really don't have any basis in the scientific literature as far as being effective for these kinds of things. And so I really
Where do you stand with regard to the allegations that mercury and vaccines triggered this autism spike?
Again, you know, it's not a matter of my opinion. It's a matter of the data, and it's quite clear that it has nothing to do with it because the mercury's been removed from the vaccines in this country 8 years ago, and even longer than that in Europe. Yet the incidence of autism continues to increase. There's a report by the Institute of Medicine on vaccines, and I recommend that your listeners go to that website and read the report. If somebody comes to them and says, "Hey, you know, your child has autism because of the vaccinations that they got, or that they have mercury, or whatever it is," you know, that's not in vaccines anymore, and hasn't been for almost, you know.
Right. It was taken out a long while ago. Are there any other precautions or cautions you'd like to leave parents with today on the Savage Nation?
Yeah, the bottom line is kind of what I said, which is, you know, parents generally have good common sense. You know, trust your instincts. You know, don't be pressured into something that you're not sure about. You know your child better than anybody. And that needs to be taken into account when anybody's talking to you about your child and what they need. So you know, don't be pressured into accepting something that you're not sure about. It could be, in fact, that your child does have autism. I do have parents that don't agree sometimes, and it's not important to ram that label down their throats, because if they truly have autism, the parents will see that over time. So don't feel pressured into doing something that you don't agree with. You know, take your time and make sure that that's an accurate diagnosis, and that the treatment that they're prescribing actually has some basis in the literature and is actually likely to help the child.
Dr. Camerata, thanks for the blessed work that you're doing to help the poor children. Thank you, Stephen Camerata, Vanderbilt University. I'll go to the callers now on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Again, I want to reiterate a few points. The United Kingdom, Britain, they can't all be stupid. The doctors in the UK National Screening Committee do not screen for autism in the general child population. Why? Because they say screening tools have not been fully validated, and interventions, that is treatments, lack sufficient evidence for effectiveness. So be careful. What are some of the behaviors, unusual behaviors by age 18 months that will put your child into a category called autism? No babbling by 12 months. No gesturing, pointing, waving goodbye by 12 months. No single words by 16 months. No two-word spontaneous phrases by 24 months. Any loss of any language or social skills at any age. I don't know if you agree with me, but there are children who behave this way who are late bloomers. They come out of it. And so be very, very careful as to who you believe. And try to understand there's common sense in all things. How in the world could there be an epidemic where there's 1 out of 150 children have an illness? Where did this come from? Where are the biomedical markers for this disease? If it is based upon subjective criteria, why then the subjective criteria, which are used to diagnose your child, themselves are subject to skepticism and criticism. I'll now take your callers, 1-800-449-8255. New York City, Kyle, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Your point, please.
Hi. I've been working with children with autism for the past 10 years, and I'm currently a school psychologist. And I just wanted to point out to you listeners that, you know, it's not just the medical field, but also the field of education. You know, in many school districts, they can make a classification of autism. And as we all know, some of the most left people in the world exist in that field. And there's a lot of people who misclassify autism at that level. And it's something that happens all the time. And I'm speaking.
Well, look, you're a school psychologist. You've worked in it for 10 years. If a child is diagnosed as autistic, what benefits befall the family? Let me ask you as a layman. Does the child get additional tutoring help for free? Does the child get the ability to take tests outside of the norm? Does the child get any other benefits in any way?
Yes. State by state, it varies. Some children will qualify for a certain level of speech services. They may get 10 hours or 5 hours of speech, depending on their classification. And it's important to point out that I know we're talking about autism, but even with the field of learning disabilities, children are misdiagnosed constantly. And it's a very sad fact that exists in our society today. That and what people need to understand is that, like the other callers, the other experts had said, that the people who suffer are the children who really have the disorder. You know. And,
well, we agree on that, and the money and the treatment and the therapy should be reserved for them, not for the falsely or misdiagnosed or the others who are put into the category for the benefits.
And, you know, I know many people might have been offended when they heard your comments when it was taken out of context, but the truth of the matter is this is a serious issue that somebody needs to bring attention to, because if somebody doesn't, there's a lot of people out there that have, you know, that are just in it for the money, and they're not in it to help children, and that's the problem, because it's not just the medical field, like the other experts said, when it comes to interventions. There's, you know, you can go to...
Well, wait, look, Kyle, you're a school psychologist. You've worked in the field for 10 years. When you said they're in it for the money, let's go down to that level. What do you mean by in it for the money? What money is involved?
Well, there's a lot of money involved. Take, for example, the screeners that are highly invalid. You know, the publishing companies make a lot of money off of these screeners. The interventions that are put out there that aren't empirically supported, there's no research behind it. You know, a lot of that, people are making a lot of money. I work with families who, no exaggeration, have spent tens of thousands of dollars on treatments that are completely invalid. And the hardest part of my job is to explain to these parents that, you know, there is no research behind it. And I have to try and point these families in the right direction. But it's a very difficult thing to accomplish, because the media portrays things, and the internet, they portray things in a very inaccurate fashion.
Kyle, you are amazing in the sense that you are a school psychologist, you work with autism, and yet you're willing to speak out, but you know, against, let us say, the miss, false, and the diagnosed, and also the complete fraud artist. But this doesn't diminish the actual pain and suffering of a child with autism, does it?
That's right, and the suffering that their families go through, and it's important.
Well, that's exactly my point, which is that you know, let's put it in another context. All of us agree that a legitimate society should defend the defenseless and help the handicapped. As the brother of a person who suffered his entire life and died in a mental hospital, I would love to see every truly autistic child get the help they need. And the way to do that is make sure that the fraud artists are found out and thrown out of the system.
Right. And it's important to emphasize, too, that a lot of these classifications, you know, are made at the school level. And these people are not necessarily qualified. I mean, obviously, they're not medical doctors. I'm not a medical doctor. And it's important to point out.
I'm glad you said that. The first test is a screening test by a non-medical professional. And who in the world would rely upon that as a test for an illness? It's the same with ADD or ADHD. If a child acted up in any way, I remember when my kids were in school. If Tom Sawyer were alive, I wrote, even then, he would be declared ADD and put on a chemical straitjacket called Ritalin to control the child. It's a form of social control. It's also an easy way of getting rid of a troublesome child. Put him on drugs and dummy him up. Now, we're talking about something entirely different here, but in context, it's not entirely different. We have a medical establishment that is very quick to diagnose illnesses that may or may not exist. I stick by those words. And again, I want to say, what in the world would I gain by attacking defenseless children who are sick? When I myself have dedicated 50 years of my life to defend the defenseless, what in the world would I do that for when I've never done it? I didn't do it. I wouldn't do it. It's the enemies of children. It's the enemies of family who took my words out of context and put it on the internet and sent it around to parents who are struggling and crying to turn me into the enemy. That's who they should be looking at, Kyle. Kyle, you know, before you go, I don't know what I can do, but I'd like my people to stay in touch with you. I have a feeling I'm going to want to know you and stay in touch with you. Let's send Kyle a copy of Healing Children Naturally. If he doesn't have one, he's going to have one now. Stay on the line, Kyle, school psychologist who says I have a point. Again, I don't want to lose the forest for the trees. Autism is not fake. I didn't say it was. But there are fakers within the field of autism, and there are children who are being told to fake autism for the benefits. That's my point. How hard is that to understand? Well, I guess it's very hard to understand. Michelle and Reno, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi. I want to say I'm sorry you got taken out of context, but I have a question. My child was diagnosed autistic. Now, if my child was misdiagnosed autistic, and I'd like to know where your comment that they should suck it up and quit acting like a girl. My daughter is a girl, and she was diagnosed autistic. So what am I supposed to say to her if she was misdiagnosed?
Well, you're asking two questions. Is your child autistic or not autistic?
She was diagnosed autistic. Yes, she was.
Well, but I wasn't addressing those comments to the truly autistic.
Right.
And so that's the important point today, Michelle.
My point. If she was misdiagnosed, like you say, there's all these fakers in the
society. I don't know. Maybe she wasn't misdiagnosed.
If she was, is my point. If she was misdiagnosed, what am I supposed
right.
to tell her? To suck it up and quit being a girl?
I couldn't tell you what to do. And so what is the treatment that your poor child is getting?
She is going through OT therapy. She's going through speech therapy. I've been dealing with this for 3.5 years. She has been going through social and emotional therapy. It was 6 months ago that my daughter would let me hold her. She's 3.5 years old.
What would she do prior to that? Would she scream?
She would scream. She would pull away. She would scratch. She would do anything she can just to be left alone.
Well, again, my comments were not aimed at you, my friend. I can see why you'd be angry at me if you thought they were. And I wish you great, great, great success in the treatment of your child. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. It's 47 minutes after the hour. We are talking, and we'll be talking for a few minutes more about this very, very emotional topic. The thing I would like you to know is that Dr. Savage supports the children. Dr. Savage supports the parents of truly ill children. I do not support those who are profiting by your tragedy. You understand that? I'll be right back.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
Can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you'll be a man, my son. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Those words have real meaning. And unless you actually listen to a man, it's very easy to crucify him. Remember, there's a mob mentality out there. We live in very dangerous times where people are taken out of context and crucified in the media. It's interesting to me that I devoted my entire adult life to defending the defenseless. And here I am being attacked by those who do not have children, who hate children, who are anti-family in media matters, who take a statement that I make out of context and send it to the poor parents of autistic children and have them believe I'm their enemy. It's very, very clever, the devil. The devil is very clever indeed. Don't underestimate your enemy is all I can tell you. But again, I will caution you to not rush to judgment because the truly autistic child needs as much help as he or she can get. The truly autistic child needs the funding that should be provided. It is the falsely diagnosed, the misdiagnosed, and the outright fakers who want the benefits, who must be found out and must be turned out so that the money can go to the truly needy in this particular field. That was the essence of my conversation last week. Why would I have chosen to attack defenseless children when I've never done so in my entire life? Think about that. What would I have gained by doing it? Nothing. I didn't do it. The fact of the matter is the enemies of the truth did it by using you, the parents of the injured child, to turn on me, the defender of the child. Very clever, the enemy. But those are the times that we live in. We don't want this money pilfered by those who are not autistic. Now, who are those who are not autistic? Are there many? My suspicion is there are many. There are many, many, many people who have been put into this category either falsely or wrongly, or have put their children into this category. Again, listen to what I'm saying to you. If a child has a very high IQ, if they're late in talking, well, these are characteristics that can put them into a checklist for autism. That might be an invitation to a false diagnosis. They've now broadened the category to include children in a new thing called the autistic spectrum. Why are they changing the definition of autism? Why has it now become the autistic spectrum rather than true autism? The answer is because there is no definitive medical diagnosis for autism. And I'll leave it at that. We have touched on these things. We've talked about these things. We've gone in circles about these things. But I want to bring you back to a very important point. And that is the American Academy of Pediatrics, which has become increasingly aggressive in drugging our children, in treating children for diseases that don't exist. The very same American Academy of Pediatrics is now recommending that all children be screened for autism at the 18 and 24 month well doctor visits. This is outrageous because in the United Kingdom, the National Screening Committee of Doctors recommends against such screening for autism in the general child population. Why do they say don't do it? Why? Because screening tools have not been fully validated. And interventions lack sufficient evidence for effectiveness. I hope you understand what I am saying to you. For example, screening tools designed for one culture may not be appropriate for another. For example, in one culture, eye contact may be an appropriate diagnosis. But there are cultures that teach their children not to look at another person when they're talking to them. Genetic screening for autism? Impractical. It doesn't exist at this time. So remember what I'm saying to you. The truly autistic deserve our sympathy and our help. The misdiagnosed, the falsely diagnosed need to be found out and turned out so that the scarce resources can go to those who are in desperate need of them. San Francisco, Ray, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Michael, you make very few mistakes. You're the counter to the ACLU. You're the counter to the Ruth Bader Ginsburgs, and you need to be heard, Michael.
I've done this day in and day out for year after year, day in and day out. It's hard enough on radio where I can somewhat control the outcome.
You can just lay it out, and how can anyone argue with this?
They can't beat me because I have truth on my side and have the facts on my side. And I had a psychiatrist on for an hour who has virtually agreed, but actually made me embarrassed by the meekness of my actual statements on this issue. He thinks it's far worse than I do, and he has worked with children, and he's worked against the drugging of our children. He says it's out of control, that the doctors are owned by the pharmaceutical companies, and they have increased these categories of illness in order to drug our children and control them. It was a shocking interview, Ray. I would like to replay that interview in part later on this week. I may take a few days off and do Powhana here. I've had enough of this for a while. I have stated my case. This is the Savage Nation. Stay tuned for this and other topics right here on the Savage Nation, heard across America.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
I have a medical professional on by the name of Dr. Peter Breggin. And Dr. Breggin is one of my favorite guests. I haven't had him on in years. Years ago, Dr. Breggin, who was a psychiatrist, was on this program warning America about the dangers of the overdiagnosis of ADD and ADHD, and particularly the drugging of our children with Ritalin today. So, Dr. Breggin, do you know much about this new epidemic or newly diagnosed number of people with autism?
Oh, I think it's a continuing marketing effort. The drug companies have really saturated America with drugs, and so they are constantly pushing to expand the diagnoses. They have tried everything from advocating drugging of subclinical conditions, that is, conditions that don't even meet the regular clinician's eye, to using all of the adult drugs with children, which is a disaster, and spreading it to so-called bipolar disorder or manic depressive disorder in children, which I have never seen except when it's caused by psychiatric drugs. And finally, this broadening of the concept of autism to autism spectrum disorders. Almost all the experts, Michael, who are involved in this spreading of the diagnostic categories are in the pay of the drug companies.
Unbelievable how right I was. You know, it's been very hard these past few days for being attacked for telling the truth. Well, we had an expert on, Dr. Camerata, who is an autism expert and treats it. And he actually said that about 58% of the cases are falsely or misdiagnosed. Even he admits that. You go a step further. What percent would you say are not autistic?
Well, I think the diagnoses do more harm than good in general. I avoid diagnosing children with psychiatric disorders because it labels them, puts them into boxes, encourages the use of psychiatric drugs. I try to understand what is happening in the child's life. And a lot of children who are labeled autistic are simply greatly in need of socialization, of a lot more attention from parents, from teachers, from counselors. So as far as I'm concerned, it's not a good idea to go around diagnosing kids. It's never a good idea to go about drugging them. Now, we do, of course, have the reality of children who, at an early age, fail to relate in a normal fashion to their moms and dads and the people around them. Most of these children, if you look at them and watch their behaving, they actually don't relate to people as if they're people. In the old
Let's go back. Now, first of all, Dr. Breggin, you're a psychiatrist. I want the audience to know your background. Isn't that correct?
Psychiatrist. I went to Harvard College. Some of my training was at the Harvard Psychiatric Residency Program, and then I spent 2 years after I finished my full psychiatric training, 2 years at the National Institute of Mental Health. I've published about 20 books now, Michael, about 10 since you've known me, and 30, 40, I've lost count, scientific articles. So I'm right in the middle.
You're one of my heroes because you dare speak out against the guilds that are so awfully powerful. 2 weeks ago, Dr. Breggin, I could not believe what I saw. The so-called American Academy of Pediatrics had the audacity to come out and say that children as young as 2 years of age should be given adult anti-cholesterol drugs without a single scientific study having been done on the possible negative effects of such drugs on the child's liver, muscles, etc.
Right.
You know and I know it's because they were paid by the drug companies to do this, directly or indirectly through grants. Would you agree with that statement I just made?
Yes. What you find with the so-called experts in these areas, if it has anything to do with drugs, you'll find that all of them, virtually all, Michael, are involved with the drug companies, getting research money. Some of them have paid professorships by the drug companies, or they're working in buildings on the medical school built by the drug companies, or they're doing seminars and consultantships for the drug companies, or they're publishing papers written by the drug companies. We've just had a scandal about a guy named Biederman at Harvard who did more than any other person to try to justify drugging children in America, and it turns out he's been hiding just how deep his connections are. In fact, I blew the whistle on him in my new book, Medication Madness, and now the whistling is even louder since the book's been published a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, he should go to prison as far as I'm concerned. Anyone who treats children this way, or mistreats them rather, under the guise of being their protectors, are masters of deceit who should be put in prison on the autism situation. You agree that true autism exists, correct or incorrect?
There's no doubt that there is a picture that develops in some children that they have a terrible time relating to other human beings, and it can be very lasting, especially if it isn't handled properly. And the way to handle it, almost all the genuine autism advocates talk about, is with psychosocial and educational means of nurturing and encouraging the child's capacity to learn and to relate to other kids. But it's not proven biological.
Isn't it true by what I've read of Albert Einstein that when he was a very young child, he was a silent child? He stared off into space. He wouldn't talk to the teacher. And in fact, the teacher would yell at him. I read this, and I don't know if it's corroborated, that they shook him to get him to talk because he was considered somewhat off base. By today's definition, wouldn't Einstein have been declared autistic?
He would have certainly been put in the spectrum disorder, not autistic probably, but in the spectrum disorder. Absolutely. He was very slow. He was not socially very skilled, and it was very noticeable when he was young.
Is it true that they've developed pharmaceuticals to give to these poor children today that don't really work?
They have now approved the most deadly of all drugs in the psychiatric arsenal to give to autistic kids who are, quote, very irritable.
And what drug is that?
Risperdal, which is an antipsychotic drug developed on the basis of subduing state mental hospital patients.
Oh, my God, no!
Yes, the worst of the drugs. Michael, in my work, I do a lot of medical legal work. I do a lot of consultations with injured patients. I've already seen... Well, this happened in October of 06. Even before that, I had seen two or three dozen children with permanent neurological diseases caused by Risperdal, in particular a disease called tardive dyskinesia, which is a deterioration in the motor control and, to some extent, the mental centers of the brain that produces abnormal twitches, blinking, spasms, can affect the way the child walks, stands, sits, and can be very deforming. And you can just imagine what that does to a child socially.
Oh, my God.
These are very deadly drugs. In fact, the drug company that makes a very similar drug, Zyprexa, which is Eli Lilly, has now settled for over $1 billion cases just of diabetes caused by this type of drug. And yet... I'm just reading the National Institute of Mental Health, which really should be the National Institute of Medical Child Abuse at this point in time.
Mm.
It didn't used to be like this. When I was there for 2 years as a full-time consultant, it was not like this. They have a handout where they go against all sanity in autism research and treatment, and they talk about using drugs like Risperdal for behavior problems in children.
Now, if you go on Google and you do a search on Risperdal, listen to the side ads. Help for mood swings? Do you have bipolar? Do you have bipolar? And these are medical groups, hospitals, psychiatric groups, trying to invite people to come in to be diagnosed bipolar or whatever they want to be called. Is this not a business today, Dr. Breggin?
Well, it's a horrible, it's an unethical business. When I was in medical school, my psychiatric training, my entire four-year period post-medical school, 3.5 of which was in psychiatry, I saw 2 or 3 manic patients, people who were so out of control that you'd say, that's what we now call bipolar. Now every doctor has 10 or 15 or 20 in his practice, if he's got a big practice, and it's all being caused, almost all, by the SSRI antidepressants, which commonly drive people into mania. So it's a business that actually supports itself. First you give the child Ritalin, then the child can't sleep, so you give him a sedative, then the child gets the sad from this combination of drugs, and you give him an antidepressant, and that drives him into mania, and you tell the parents he's got bipolar disorder. And so help me God, Michael, I see this again and again in my practice.
I think you would agree that common sense has gone out of the American social community. But Dr. Breggin, I want to again put out your website, breggin.com, B-R-E-G-G-I-N. Dr. Breggin, any last words on the Savage Nation?
I think that you do need to be defended. You are pointing out a crisis in America with the diagnosing and drugging of our children. And I wish the people who are attacking you would instead defend their children from psychiatric child abuse. And that's what I believe, in essence, you were trying to say.
Dr. Breggin, you're one of my heroes. You have been for years. I'm so glad you're with us today on the Savage Nation.
Yeah.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
Encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
Let us go to the callers. Tikva in New York City on WOR, my wonderful affiliate in Manhattan and surrounding area. What's on your mind, Tikva?
Hi, I'm an ABA therapist with a prominent agency in New York. And today the agencies have really co-opted that term autism. What they do is they send the parents to neurologists that are willing to give this diagnosis for children that I have been working with. And I know for a fact that they're not autistic. They're mentally retarded. They're neurologically impaired. Mm-hmm. They have severe brain damage. And they're labeled autistic because the agencies make more money with this label. And,
oh, my God. You mean there's more money if the child's declared to be autistic than brain damaged?
The state pays much more money for a child that's labeled autistic for ABA therapy than they...
Oh, my God. No wonder I've touched a raw nerve. Well, Tikva, this goes into the whole interlocking corporate directorates that I've talked about for years on the Savage Nation. You will find that some of the people on the pharmaceutical boards sit on school boards, sit on media boards. It's all interlocking in order to control the outcome. It's going to take people like you who are in the profession, who really care about children, to try to get the word out. I know that it's not often that you're going to get a chance on a radio show because no one else is talking about it but me. And God bless you for calling the show. That really was something. That was a wonderful call. Houston, Texas, Kyle, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Doc Savage, I don't have anything profound to say. I just wanted to call and support and say you're exactly right. I've had boots on the ground for over 15 years, and I've seen what you've said and what the doctor said, and you're exactly right, and I'm upset. Yeah, you're right.
You should be upset. I'm like the biblical prophet being stoned to death by the liars in the media, and don't cry over it. We're living in very sick times when the evil can undo a federal law that has protected our children from pornographers who are using them in dirty movies on the internet. And I am attacked, not them. What does that tell you about the nice men in the white shirts and ties with the Colgate smiles in these television stations? It tells you everything you always knew about them. Joshua, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy land. There shall not a man of them stand against thee. Joshua therefore came upon them, and suddenly, for he went up from Gilgal all the night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. And they chased them by the way of the ascent of Beth-Horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Machadah. What does it have to do with anything? I don't know. Does it have to do with anything? Are these just the musings of mentally ill olive growers in ancient times? You do know that, of course, if the people who wrote the Word of God were alive today, who were quoted the prophets of the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah in particular, they would have been declared to be manic depressive or bipolar. We would have no Proverbs. Ezekiel would be probably in a mental hospital for the things he wrote. That's the world we are living in. We are living in a time of utter and absolute spiritual death. And those who have brought the spiritual death upon ourselves and our children are many, and they are far and wide in the media, in the drug establishment, in the medical establishment, in the legal establishment. And I am telling you, this is a battle that's almost impossible for me to fight on a daily basis. The forces against me are overwhelming. And yet, I have a spirit that lifts me up and brings me before you every day on the radio show. Where this energy comes from is a secret and a mystery. It's a secret to me because I don't know the answer. It's also a mystery to me because I don't know the answer. Some would say that it's God-given. Some would say that I've been given this microphone, and against all odds, I continue to survive. I've been attacked and reviled for years. Now, there are those in the media who pretend to be controversial, but in fact, they specialize in non-controversial controversies, and they go very, very far in the media by pretending to be controversial by attacking Democrats, for example, or attacking Republicans in the typical nonsense of the government media complex. But the truly controversial, who are the prophets of our day, cannot be heard in this country. They are vilified. It's amazing to me that I even am on the air altogether, to be honest with you. It's amazing to me that I'm on the air at all, and I have wonderful advertisers who believe in the freedom of speech. Whether they agree with me or not is irrelevant. They understand that the essence of democracy is freedom of speech and freedom of expression. And the day they start to cater to the forces of darkness is the day we all fall into the abyss of the ex-Soviet Union.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage. Encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Welcome back. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I have been receiving people emails from station managers who said, you know, Michael, I've listened to you, and I'm really sorry that we took the bait from that group, Media Matters. We know that they're dangerous. We know that they're un-American. And we're really glad to have listened to you and realized that you've always supported children and their parents. You just don't support the fakers. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. There are many topics we can discuss other than this, but truthfully, what do you want me to talk about? The big media tour of Obama in the Middle East? The hype of Obama doing his big Middle Eastern tour? I really would find that to be exhausting to talk about that. I believe the man is a charlatan. I believe that the people pushing him should be ashamed of themselves, but they're the same people who are attacking me. So let's go to the callers. Texas, Susan, you're on the Savage Nation. What's your story? Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Thanks so much for taking my call and having Dr. Camerata on your show.
Thank you.
I actually have two boys that were late in talking, And it wasn't until last year when my three-year-old was diagnosed with an ASD, even though he scored in a non-autistic range. Mm-hmm. They urged me to sign that he had some sort of autism so he could get services. And they pretty much were bullying me to do it. And
when you are saying they bullied you to sign that he had this illness to get services, who are you referring to, please?
Apologize. Let me back up. My diagnosis did not come from the medical community. It came from the school district.
Aha. Okay. And it was the school district who was encouraging you to say, yes, sign on the dotted line, my child has autism?
Absolutely.
And why would they want that, do you suppose?
I don't know. They were trying to push me into putting him in a special education class 5 days a week.
So I see. They have special ed for children who are diagnosed in these categories. That's very interesting unto itself. And, of course, we all know that special ed and other such services are quite expensive, and they may be bankrupting our schools. Now, that's who I'm directing the show to, are the guilds that are involved in pushing this. And I have to repeat it, I guess, in every breath, that there is true autism and the children are suffering and they deserve the care that they are entitled to.
Absolutely.
Well, we're laughing because the society is filled with fraudulent medical cases. And I believe that it's impossible statistically for a nation to have one out of 150 children with an illness called autism for which there is no definitive biomedical markers. How does your story end?
My story ends where I did 6 to 8 months of research on my own. That's how I actually found Dr. Camerata on the internet.
Oh.
We traveled to Nashville in March to have both of my boys evaluated for 4 hours. The school did the evaluation in 20 minutes.
Oh. And they were not medical professionals in your school, no doubt.
No, they were not.
God bless you for calling the Savage Nation, setting the record straight. I want to refer to something for those of you who just joined the show and don't know my background. And I'm not going to blow my own horn overly. I have to do some of it because no one else will do it. My book, Healing Children Naturally, was published in 1982. I republished it last year. It's available on michaelsavage.com. It's interesting that there is no reference to autism in this book. I have virtually every other childhood illness that was known at the time, including hyperactivity syndrome. And there's no reference to autism in my book. And that is because it was little known, little understood, and hardly a problem at that time. But if you look up hyperactivity on page 217, I want to read you one paragraph from Healing Children Naturally, a book that should be in every parent's home. If Tom Sawyer were alive today and in grade school, no doubt he would be declared a hyperactive child by a teacher eager to subdue him. To apply a medical term to social behavior is the road to 1984 and all the implied dangers of mind control and psychoactive drugs. I have long felt that teachers who recommend Ritalin and other forms of speed-like drugs to control our children with ought to be threatened with legal action from parents on the premise that teachers are not licensed to practice medicine and make diagnosis. And there's a preface in the book that opens with a one-liner. Just as the undrawn sword is the mark of the best swordsman, so too is the best physician who relies least on synthetic drugs to heal. I have always been ahead of my time. I've always taken flack for being so, for flying in the head of the formation. It's unfortunate, though, that we live in a time, Media Matters, would be allowed to get away with this without being immediately arrested for distorting the factual record of what goes on in the media. It's astounding that we have a government that does not control outright fascist groups like this who have tried and tried and tried to distort the record. When I made my comments a while ago about illegal aliens, illegal immigrants, this very same group made it sound as though I were attacking Hispanics. When I made my comments about Osama bin Laden and Ahmadinejad, who has said all Jews could be killed in Israel and it would be worth it to him to kill all the Jews in Israel and it would be worth it to him to kill all the Jews in Israel so long as half the Iranians died, he wouldn't care. I repeated it over and over again. They took it out of context and said I was attacking all Muslims. Let me explain to you, if you permit illegitimate, dangerous fascist groups like Media Matters to get away with this, you will be living in the ex-Soviet Union in your own lifetime. Grand Rapids, Michigan, Patricia, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. I'm so happy to have gotten through to you. I waited because I'm a special ed teacher of 25 years. I have a sister who legitimately is an Asperger's person, and I cannot agree with you more. There has been, I have a little bit of a different take coming to schools.
God bless you. I can't wait to hear it. Go ahead, please.
Hearing the person that called prior to me, I just was like, bingo. Okay. What money. Big money. I cannot, when I saw that ad, I don't know, that's been running about 3 years, one about, well, there are one out of 150 children with autism, I thought I fell over. And I did come on, I'd say to my family,
Patricia, listen, if you go onto Google and you put in autism and hit it, you know the first article that comes up is an attack on me? Well, I actually am now at the top of wait, and you go on the right column. Listen to this. Sponsored links. Denied autism treatment? Question mark. We can help. Autism treatment? We can help. Help for autism? We can help. There's an industry out there of parasites who are fanning the flames here.
Oh, no kidding. Well, okay, let me give you a perspective. I was saying to colleagues, wait a second. The money involved, the groups that advocate for the autistic, I'm not against, like you're saying. You're not. Yes. I know I've listened to you many a year. I know being a sibling of a handicapped person, the tragedy that involves. And we probably have the most invested interest in that community. But we don't want it. We don't want them stolen from by charlatans, like you said, false diagnoses of this is a syndrome with no medical milestones. That's what I think Sowell was saying. What's happened is, okay, here is what one of my colleagues said, and take it, and parents, if you're listening, see if this is true. I said, what is happening? Why all this money? I mean, programs, one-on-one aids for each student, extremely expensive. And she said to me, the parents that are targeted are upper middle class because the children may have something or they may just be odd. The upper middle class parents are desperate for answers. This is a syndrome, and it's so wide that anyone could fall into it.
That's okay. Right. It's so wide that anyone can fall into it. But I want to reiterate, my comments about 99 out of 100 were I was talking about the false myths and fakers in the field. That's what I was talking about. And I'm outraged that people would take that out of context and say that I, of all people, would attack helpless children. I have never done that. I spent my entire life defending helpless children. And let me go a step further here, if I may, Patricia and everyone else. You have a vile creature on radio by the name of Howard Stern, a vile, demented, sick man who has for years ridiculed a handicapped person or many handicapped people on the air, on television and radio, without any commentary by the so-called outraged in the media. They've never asked him how come he ridicules handicapped people. How come he got away with that? I never ridiculed handicapped people. I'm talking about the fakers. And so, therefore, I'll go back again. How come Howard Stern can ridicule handicapped people and no one says a word to him? The answer is because they agree with his politics and they disagree with my politics. That is why I am under attack today, Patricia. And I thank you very much for calling the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 phone number. MichaelSavage.com website. Again, I want to reiterate something that you should take away from the show today. There is no definitive medical diagnosis for autism. There are no biomedical markers for autism. The tests for autism are all subjective. Are there real cases of autism? Absolutely. Are they tragic? Terribly so. Should the children get the care that they need? Yes. In order for them to get the care they need, there must be funding. There's a limited amount of funding, particularly in this economy. We cannot permit the false, the fake, and the outright grifters to steal any of this money. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Moreover, thousands of people have gone to experts years later and said, my child was misdiagnosed. It has stigmatized my child for life for us telling him that he had autism, for the people in the school system to treat him as though he had something wrong with him. I am telling you, we need to have a frank national discussion about autism, and we cannot simply sit here and say, I don't know what it is, I don't want to talk about it, Savage is a monster. It's the people who have taken me out of context who you should be emailing and who you should be attacking, not me. I have fought on behalf of the helpless children all of my life, and it's ironic that you would take the bait from a group like Media Matters, which is filled with men who hate families and men who hate particularly conservatives who believe in borders, language, and culture. Those are the enemies of the truth. Those are the enemies of your children, not me. I'll be right back.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Let me read you again from Thomas Sowell's great article on this subject from November of 07, which appears on michaelsavage.com. These are the two of the best articles I've seen. Two paragraphs, please. Loose definitions of autism produce bigger and more newsworthy statistics, which in turn can attract more children into existing programs and attract more money from the government, foundations, and other sources to support these programs. Many parents have told me that they have been urged to let their children be labeled autistic or on the autistic spectrum in order to get money for speech therapy or other conditions from grants that are available to deal with autism. So before you attack, A, find out who published these statements, what I was referring to, and what I actually believe. And I want to ask you something, those of you who made up your mind. What would I have gained? What would I have gained by attacking autistic children? Tell me. Tell me what I would have gained by it. Particularly since, you know, if you've listened to this show, I have talked for 15 straight years about many topics. But one of the recurring themes on my show are children. And children, how they are exploited in our society. And I've talked about my own personal situation, which I will not going to repeat again. And I've written the book Healing Children Naturally, which I highly recommend that you buy and read. Go to michaelsavage.com. I don't think we're going to have enough copies left after today. I have been involved in trying to help the helpless for my entire life, going back to childhood, because of my poor brother. And I want to actually conclude right now by saying again, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I said, oh, my God, not again. Not those fascists again taking me out of context. How did they get away with it? How can criminal fascists like those in Media Matters not be stopped by the government for doing this to people, by twisting their words and taking them out of context? I said, well, you're living in a quasi-proto-Soviet Union where people can be damned for half-truths. And then I thought, I can't control the outcome of this. I cannot control the outcome of a hurricane any more than I can control the outcome of this. All I can do as a boater, by the way, and I've been boating all my life, is steer through the storm. I can't do anything else. I couldn't stop and scream and go, oh, I can't do it. No, I can just steer and hold on to the wheel. I knew this would be a rough day, nor do I think the storm is over. I don't think that I'm out of the storm. I think I'm in the eye of the hurricane, and I think tomorrow I will see the other side of this storm. And I said, you know what? It's in God's hands. It's not in my hands. And if God wants me off the radio, that so be it. If God wants me to continue to work on behalf of the things I believe in and believe to be true, so be it. I'm willing to take it either way. But then another thought and another set of ideas came to me in the middle of the night in the still quietness of the evening. And that was my poor brother. My poor, poor brother who never spoke a word. He was silent until the day he died. And I said, should I raise this issue of my brother who was born, I don't know, should you say brain damaged? I don't know what words to use. Couldn't talk, was blind, couldn't walk, and the parents gave him away to a home when he was five. It tore our hearts out. Everyone's heart was ripped to pieces. He lived another 20 years in that snake pit on Staten Island until he died a horrible death from the mistreatment of that snake pit. And I thought, Well, I don't want to exploit his memory for my own salvation. But then another thought came to me, which is that maybe by talking about it, the people who have made up their minds based upon this false information will understand that there's another side to Michael Savage they don't know anything about. And I said, then maybe this silent boy, Jerome, will have spoken very boldly and loudly a half a century later to save his older brother, someone he was never able to talk to in real life. And I said, I can give life to someone who was silent, who never had a voice. And so I give life to you, Jerome. And let God in heaven himself curse those who have brought this upon me. Let a horrible plague fall upon their homes. Let a horrible illness fall upon them. For the rest of their existence, may they suffer the way they wish for me to suffer. Jerome, if you're in heaven, talk to God about this. Let him strike those people who have brought this upon your brother. Let him strike them with every power he has. Let him afflict them with the poison they have tried to put into the mind of the American people. And so here I am, ladies and gentlemen. There's not much more I can say without getting even more emotional than I am right now. I am very proud that I have the guts to stand up here and fight every day, A, for the truth, and B, for my survival. I am very proud that I can bring to you the words of my silent brother who never had a chance because of the medical establishment. I am very proud that you have the brains to listen to me and draw your own conclusions. And I pray to God at the end of this show, you come away saying, you know what, maybe I had this guy wrong. Maybe, just maybe, he's trying to alert the people to the fact that there's a lot of fraud in this particular industry, as there is in many, many medical-related industries. ADD, ADHD, the British don't accept the broad diagnosis for these illnesses that the quacks in this country do, because the quacks in this country are tied to the pharmaceutical companies. The quacks are tied to the pharmaceutical firms in the American Pediatrics Association. And that is why they said a week ago, oh, every child down to the age of two should get anti-cholesterol drugs if they have high cholesterol. Not one study exists in the literature showing that children will not be damaged by the wide application of anti-cholesterol drugs. And the doctor who said it, did he get a grant from the pharmaceutical company that makes the anti-cholesterol drug? Why don't you look into it? To me, it's a crime against our children. And so in conclusion this evening, I want to conclude with this. I have spent my entire life trying to defend the defenseless. Why in the world would you think I would attack children with autism? What would I have gained? Was there any gain? Would there be any gain to this? Why would I have done that? If in the end, I suffer and the autistic children gain from a wider understanding of their condition, and the falsely diagnosed or misdiagnosed are freed of the stigma, then it will have been worth it. God bless America.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.